When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
You know what's awesome? You know what's really great? Acting on impulse, being impulsive. It's great. It's awesome. It's exciting. You're going out with your friends and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to have the best night of my life. And you do. You have this amazing night, but there is a price to be paid. Yeah, buddy. Oh my goodness. There is a price to be paid. And that price is oftentimes a brutal hangover and not enough sleep or too much sleep and just not being at 100% or even close to 100% the next day. So the cost of that behavior can be extreme, but that was a big night. That was a great night. We're going to enjoy and think about forever. Maybe it was worth it. Maybe it wasn't. But acting on impulse is an incredible thing. Think about all the delicious things we like to eat that we know are not supposed to, but we still do. Impulse is powerful. And I want to talk a little about today the difference between instinct and impulse, with the idea being that while impulsive behavior is fun, it's not a winning strategy over the long term. And the wet blanket guy that I am interested in personally having the life that I want, getting what I want, all that blah, 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 realizing my potential, got it. But I'm interested in doing that. I'm also interested in having fun, and I'm not looking for balance. I'm looking for the majority of my behaviors to be aligned with those things that are going to get me what I want, and the minority to be impulsive, blowing off steam, YOLO, all the things. So I don't want to have FOMO, so I engage in behavior that's YOLO. It's been a long time. Are we saying YOLO and FOMO anymore? I think we're probably past that. I should have asked my 8-year-old what it is that we're focused on these days. He could have filled me in so I didn't have to talk about it during the show here. But hey, so what's being awesome is acting impulsively. It's fun. You know, it's also great being number one, being at the top. Everybody else behind you looking up. You're on top of the mountain. And that's where we are. That's where we Americans are. We're accustomed to being number one. The best, top of the world, king of the mountain, let's go. But not always a good thing to be number one. Not always good to be on top of the heap. So right now, we have the highest levels we've ever had, which means the highest levels that any human being has ever had. Right now, we've got the highest deficit ever. Yes, number one. Right now, we've got the highest amount of personal debt ever. Yes, right now, we have the highest level of autoimmune disease, of Alzheimer's, of heart disease, of cancer, of autism. We have the highest level right now of every single chronic disease ever. We are officially number one. Amazing. How could that happen? What confluence of events could have taken place that would put us at the top of the charts for all of these? I believe that's what I've been talking about. It's impulsive behavior. It's impulsive behavior. Collective impulsive behavior. Why? Well, impulsive behavior is often a lot more fun. It gives us immediate rewards. It gives us dopamine, just mainlining that dopamine right in there, buddy. Let's go. Whew, feel good. So here's how it works. What is that connection between our dopamine system and instant gratification? Well, the thing about dopamine is that it's called a neurotransmitter, and it just plays this huge role in our brain's reward system. It gives us feelings of pleasure and motivation when we're anticipating something, like knowing that I'm going to get this thing that I really want. Dopamine increases, reinforcing the behavior. I think about going through the drive-thru and getting some delicious food. Just thinking about it makes me feel good, which makes me realize that this was a good decision. So I go. So you take action, like eating or giving yourself a treat or buying something, just gives you that quick little hit of dopamine. It feels so good, even though I intellectually understand that I shouldn't be doing this. This is not part of my diet or whatever. So why else? Why else is impulse so much fun? Because it doesn't take a lot of effort. It's a pretty clear path between me want cheeseburger and me get cheeseburger. It's fast. It's effortless. And it's even more so these days because I can just hit one button and the thing shows up at my house. So I don't have to go through the Ben Franklin tea thing of pros and cons. I don't have to do that. I'm not going to stress my brain out making an impulsive decision. And that anticipation, like I've been talking about, it's almost as good as the thing itself. It is this wave of excitement. It's a buzz. It's a high. It's enthusiasm. It's all these things. And then there's a lot of people that think it's a good idea if I do these things. I'm getting a lot of reinforcement of my impulsive behavior. Social media tells us that impulsive shopping or just shopping or consumption is awesome. And feeling that I should engage in self-care and I should treat myself and I deserve this and this, that, and the other thing. I don't need to tell you this stuff. But also, there is also just part of an evolutionary case to be made for why it is that we engage in impulsive behaviors. And from an evolutionary perspective, it allowed us to make quick decisions and take immediate action whenever we had that opportunity. So in our brains, that identification of the thing that I want and then the ability to acquire it quickly, that plays right into my survival instinct. Back when my brain was being formed, back way back in the day, when I found something to eat, a delicious, you know, apple tree, something like that. I found an animal that I could easily kill, or maybe it was sleep, whatever. I found a thing that I could get easily and I take action on it. That's a positive thing. So it's not just that dopamine, it's also linked to that. But why? What about delayed gratification? Why isn't that as much of a pull as following my impulses? Well, long-term planning, see, I already lost you. Long-term planning, here's another, self-control. Does that sound good? Does long-term planning and self-control taste better than that cheeseburger? Mm-mm. Nope. In order to do that, I've got to use a different part of my brain. The frontal lobe of my brain that manages my delayed gratification because it allows me to focus on future goals. And that part of our brain, it processes rewards in a way more complicated, complex way than dopamine does. Dopamine, quick hit. It's a quick shot. It's easy. The part of my brain, the frontal lobe, it requires a lot more. We have to take our frontal lobe out for dinner and sing it songs and be really nice to it before we're going to get the payoff. You know, so it's just harder. So while acting on impulse brings us instant pleasure, delaying gratification requires patient and concerted effort. Whew, that just doesn't sound like any fun at all. Long-term planning sounds like a real drag. Buying something on Amazon and getting something on Grubhub, that sounds pretty easy and pretty good. Might just throw on some Netflix while I'm waiting for it to arrive at my house after I hit the button. Just hit some more buttons. Just keep the impulse going. So what is the difference between an instinct and an impulse? Let's have a quick conversation about that. Instincts, these are hardwired behaviors. They're automatic and they're there because we needed them to be able to survive. And They are found in the more primitive parts of our brain. You've probably heard the term reptilian brain and limbic system. Instincts don't require conscious thought. They're actually triggered by an environment or by internal states. So here's an example. When you touch something that's hot, body pulls your hand away. It's the reptilian brain telling you your hand is not supposed to be where it is. So the instincts, it's the reptilian brain that controls basic survival instincts like running, fight or flight, the limbic system, that's his emotional responses like fear, hunger, and attraction. And in daily life, when you react without thinking in moments of stress or danger, that is instinct kicking in. It's your body's natural survival mechanism at work. Now, on to impulses. These are about sudden urges that might not always be linked to survival. They come from a mix of instinctive and emotional reactions, but are influenced by your neocortex, where conscious thought and decision-making happens. So, an impulse oftentimes feels like it's a quick urge to do something, but unlike instincts, you can decide to act on them or not. So, your body's giving you a choice, A or B. When you put your hand on the stove, you're pulling your hand back. You're just doing that instinctually. So the impulse, it's like, hey, I think you want to do this. Do you want to get the burger or do you want to have a salad? Whatever. So here's an example. You might feel an impulse to eat a snack when you see something that looks delicious, even if you're not hungry. So you walk past the counter. There's a bowl of M&Ms. I'm not hungry at all, but couple of M&Ms, that'd be all right now. So you make the decision. You're like, I'm really not supposed to, but why not? So again, the limbic system is what's doing that. The neocortex, those are the things that are doing it. So just to bring this full circle, an instinct that is an automatic action that is linked to survival. An impulse is an emotional urge that can be acted upon, or you can suppress it when you think about it. So,
this fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
It is obviously, the more we can bring our long-term planning brain in, probably the better off that we're going to be over the long term, the mid to long term. Short term, you're going to be missing out on that delicious thing. So what does that have to do? I talked about how we're number one. We're number one in debt and deficit, so that obviously applies to money. And then we're number one in being overweight and being sick and chronic disease. That's diet and exercise. So not a surprise that the two of the most important things, our physical health and our financial health, are directly linked to impulsive behavior versus instinctual behavior. What are we even talking about this for? Well, I don't really think it's a good thing to be number one. And you, I don't think that either. Maybe you're like an O'Doyle rules kind of a person. Remember that? O'Doyle rules. I think that was from Happy Gilmore. Billy Madison. Definitely not Happy Gilmore. Anyway, so let's talk about money first. Let's talk about the role that impulse plays with poor financial management, specifically debt. So because we know that impulses are usually tied to short-term gratification and emotional happiness and desires and dopamine rather than long-term survival, spending money that's driven by impulse often happens without deep consideration of future consequence. Shocking. I was awesome at this in my 20s. Perhaps you were too. Maybe you're still awesome at it now. I am less good at it now. Used to be really good at it. And I wanted what I wanted when I wanted it. Now I'm reminding myself of my 5-year-old who is going through that severely right now. He wants it and he wants it now. Does not give an F what it takes to get it. Just get it. So when it comes to money, impulsive purchases are credit cards, eating out, you're buying fancy clothes that brings you immediate pleasure, but we end up screwing ourselves over because we don't have the money. We can't afford it, but we still want it. So we purchase it and we go into debt, which leads to prolonged suffering, pain, all kinds of bad stuff. We decide that we're not going to follow our plan, or we don't even have a plan. We decide we're going to go over our budget or off of our budget, or we don't even have a budget, because having a budget would be like long-term planning. And of course, this was me. I absolutely did not keep a budget. Didn't really give a lot of thought to planning, even though I was working in personal finance during the time. How very human of me. Perhaps this is familiar to you as well. So what's going on in my brain when I'm doing this? Well, it's the limbic system, and the limbic system is wanting rewards and pleasures, and it really doesn't care about your long-term financial health. So that is how that goes. When it comes to instinctual behavior in debt, your instincts are more about survival and meeting your basic needs. They typically drive behaviors like saving money to ensure stability. And while people might go into debt to meet essential needs, it's often a necessity rather than a choice. So if you are flat broke and you're needing to go into debt to meet a housing need, or you have a healthcare bill, that is more out of necessity than it is out of choice. So if somebody takes on a debt for essential needs, like paying your mortgage, or you have some kind of a medical expense, that's more in line with survival instincts. And that's less about short-term pleasure, more about long-term security. But what are some signs of impulsive debt accumulation? Well, it's frequent use of credit for non-essentials. You're buying fancy clothes, you're buying new tech, you are going out to eat all the time, or happy hour. That was me for sure. I was a happy hour guy, but certainly wasn't limited to that. I overspent on pretty much every aspect of life, was dominant at it. Again, I was number one for sure. And what we know is that oftentimes, more often than not, way more often than not, when we do this, we're using high interest credit card, high interest loans of something like personal loans, or even paycheck payday loans and junk like that. And that obviously does not lend itself to financial security or financial success. So if we find ourselves in a place where constant impulsive spending leaves little room for building savings, leading to financial insecurity, that is the sign that we have a problem. So I'm not a monk. Never taken a vow of poverty. I'm not saying you ought to either. But what I am saying is that we need to get to the point where 80 to 90% of our decisions around money are based on good decision-making, not impulsive decision-making. So there's a third category here. It's not just instinct and impulse. I was just very interested in what the difference between an instinct and an impulse was and how that shows up in our lives. Obviously, a third category is just understanding that I have other priorities in my life beyond just what's beyond the tip of my nose, beyond just the immediate, beyond right now. So that's what I'm talking about. So when we find ourselves as a nation in incredible debt, when we find ourselves as a household or as individuals in incredible debt, it is reflective of impulsive behavior driven by emotional, social desires rather than instinctual or desires that we have for our long-term success in our planning. So we recognize that it's impulse driven. You can make the choice or start to be more conscious about these things. I talk a lot about Daniel Kahneman, rest in peace, and how he talks about thinking fast and slow. In a lot of ways, that's a big part of what this conversation is. The fast part of your brain is 100% impulsive. The slow part of our brain is not necessarily instinctive. It's just more I'm tapping into that other part of my brain that is all about planning for the future, that is all about long-term security versus short-term desires and short-term pleasure and those dopamine hits. And I bet you already know, but it's a lot of the similar stuff when it comes to diet and exercise and being overweight. So the high rate of overweight and obesity here in the United States is absolutely evidence that we have a similar pattern of impulse-driven behavior when it comes to diet and exercise. So how does that work? Let's look at in our impulsive behaviors in terms of the food that we are choosing to eat. And this is not unlike when we are shown mass affluence everywhere we look, be it in our neighborhood, in our communities, and without question on the internet. We're seeing people YOLOing and whatever, living their best lives, driving nice cars, wearing nice clothes, having amazing experiences. And I 100% miss out. I feel like I'm missing out. Like, how are all these people doing these amazing things? And I'm stuck here with this crap, and I'm not doing those things. Well, maybe I should be doing those things too. I deserve nice things. I want nice things. And this piece of plastic here tells me that I can have them, and I can have them right now also. So same thing happens with diet choices. But again, many foods today are engineered to be super delicious, highly palatable. They're rich in sugars, fats, salts, which are especially rewarding to that limbic system. Whoo, buddy, our brain's reward system loves when that goes into my cake hole, or whatever you want to call it, into my mouth. That's less fun. So impulsive eating is driven by short-term gratification and emotional urges. If I'm stressed out, I'm bored, it's not that I'm hungry. I'm not satiating my hunger purely by doing these things. It's I'm stressed out, I'm bored, I'm sad, I'm depressed, whatever. I don't feel good. So I throw some processed foods in my mouth. Boom. Whew. I don't care about calories at that point or macros or anything like that. I am stuffing my face because it feels good. So when I reach for a bag of chips or a Kit Kat, when I'm feeling down, that's an impulse. My limbic system craves the immediate dopamine hit that these foods give me. But the frontal lobe, that one boring ass lobe, handles self-control. Doesn't always step in to say, no, George, what are you doing? You don't need another cookie. You've already had five. You gonna have another one? Really? No thanks. No thanks, frontal lobe. Go away. Beat it. What about a lack of exercise? What about my sedentary lifestyle?
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
What does that say? Well, instinctively, from an instinctual standpoint, our brains evolved to conserve energy whenever it's possible. Why? Because it was beneficial when food was scarce. If I didn't know when I was going to eat next, my brain says we need to hold on to these calories and hold on to this energy. So our reptilian brain is wired to avoid unnecessary exertion when we don't need to move. So that's interesting. But today, we got all the food that we need. So the instinct to conserve energy is not very helpful. And what it does is it leads to sedentary behavior. It's no longer keeping me alive, but what it did is keep me on the couch, which is not keeping me alive. It's just keeping me on the couch. So in order to overcome that, we need to make conscious, effortful choices, overriding that instinct to rest to be active. So instead of choosing to sit and watch TV and go for a walk, but when I choose to sit and watch that TV or play a video game, it aligns with the instinct of conserving energy. So it's no longer positive though. I don't need it. So what about the role of impulse control in today's world? So sort of to bring more of this full circle, there's so much cheap, calorie-dense food. You marry that with a sedentary lifestyle, super easy to gain weight. Our frontal lobes have to work overtime to control our eating habits and encourage movement, which is challenging in a world that has been made to be convenient. Back in the day, our instincts to eat high-calorie foods when they were around That was a good idea because food was often scarce. So if I find a super high calorie dense food, I'm going to eat it. But now with food everywhere, those same instincts can lead to me gaining weight, which is not, it's pretty obvious. So where's that crossover of instinct and impulse in our modern health? Well, our instincts push us to eat high calorie food and to rest when we can. Our impulse, the emotional reward of eating these foods or avoiding exercise, compounds the instinct, creating a feedback loop. It's real hard to break. So today, to stay healthy, it requires we need to have our strong frontal lobe engaged to manage both the impulses for unhealthy food and the instinct to conserve energy. So here we are. Overweight, super unhealthy. It's both an instinct and an impulse problem. Our brains evolved in an environment where overeating and inactivity were not options. When I was roaming, when prehistoric George, prehistoric you, when we were out roaming the plains or whatever, hunting, looking for food, overeating and being lazy, that wasn't an option. So being fat wasn't a thing. Okay, got it. Today, we have obviously the opposite is true. We got all the food in the world, and I still want to be lazy. So it makes conscious decision making so much more important, involving all the different parts of our brain, honoring the fact that I want to be a fat kid. I want to be lazy. I want to be relaxed. I want to take care of myself and not hustle too much and not burn out. Balancing that against the fact that here we are. We are the brokest we've ever been. We are the fattest that we've ever been. We are number one. Not beneficial, not additive. Man, isn't that interesting? I think that that's really interesting. I think that that is interesting. The thing is, are we able to overcome it? Are we able to overcome it? And I think that the jury's still out, but I'm leaning towards no. That when just going with it is so much easier than going against our biology, going against our instincts and our impulses, and the availability of so much comfort and convenience, I think that we're in trouble. I think that we are in trouble. And then instead of changing it, then we introduce drugs and pills and shots or whatever that can help us to lose weight. So, story for another day. But food for thought. Too soon. Way too soon on the food for thought thing. George, come on, buddy. Something for you to chew on. Ooh, I did it again. I did it again. It's a lot to digest.
Yeah.
Third time. Man, I think that with my third child, it's like the infinity stones of dad jokes. Just, you know, wow, wow. Getting stronger. I'm getting stronger. All right. Of course, the answer is getting really clear in what you want and what's most important to you and keeping that just on, right in front of your face. We need to remind ourselves constantly of what's most important and really keep that absolutely front of mind when we're making all these decisions throughout the day about what we're putting in our mouth and how we're moving our bodies. And none of this is easy at all. Just from a super practical perspective, I know that if I have junk food in the house that I really like, I'm going to eat it. So I can't keep it in the house. There's plenty of candy and stuff like that my kids eat, but I don't like it. I've mentioned recently that I really like cookies. Love them. Whew, I like ice cream. But I can't have those. Can't have them in the house. I eat them. I eat those things. I don't eat all of it every week, but I'll eat on a Friday and Saturday. I'll eat dessert. It's really good. So just figure out what do you need to be successful and put yourself in position to be successful? I think if you have food that you know you're not supposed to be eating readily available, well, then you're going to eat it. So put some parameters around it. Again, keep in mind what I shared, that if we can get that, if we can get to 80% right in our diet and 80% right in our exercise program, and then we allow 20% as effing off or just not exercising or whatever, I think that that's fine. If you're in a place where you are in debt, if you are really overweight, well, you need to make some investments to get yourself back to black. Because when you're overweight or you're broke, you're in the red. And if I'm in your shoes, because I was 20 pounds overweight, and I was very much in debt for a long time. And it takes not necessarily a Herculean effort, but pretty close. It takes a lot of effort because we created bad habits for ourselves. But I did it. I got back in shape. I'm in great shape now. I got out of debt. I'm in great financial shape now. So if I can do it, you can certainly do it as well. Just need the right support, all that good stuff. But you need to decide. I think a lot of that just comes down to that. Decide what it is that you want, who it is you want to be, and then work on strengthening that willpower muscle. Enough. And then be conscious of those impulses. Be conscious of your instinct to find comfort, to conserve energy, to get up, move your butt, eat a little bit less, or eat more of good food. As always, do your part, doing your best.